Round one. Fight!
This is episode 12 of Don't Be a Scrub podcast. My name is Spider Carnage, aka Verbose Mute on Xbox Live. My interviewing partner is Mutton, aka Muttonhead01 on Xbox Live and PSN. Unfortunately, due to us running a little bit late with our fortnightly podcast release cycle, we didn't get a chance to do the intro for episode 12 at a community event like we usually try to do. We've been trying to get a hold of Boss Logic for quite a while. Because he's so busy doing Street Fighter and other community-related things, not to mention doing his own artwork and obviously work for clients and whatnot, and with Mutton and myself both working full-time, it took a bit of organizing to get all of us to actually be able to sit down in the room and do the interview. One thing I would like to mention is that we actually performed this interview with a new microphone that I actually purchased on that day. So the audio quality might be a little bit sketchy at times because I didn't actually do the prep work necessary to test the microphone and see what its best recording settings were and whatnot. Both Mutton and myself were looking forward to this interview for quite a while because we're fairly close friends with Dave. As always, you can find a full transcript of the interview on Mutton's blog at beingascrub.wordpress.com, and we hope you enjoyed the interview.
Back. You're listening to the Don't Be a Scrub podcast. Stay hungry, stay salty, and continue listening.
Hello, everyone. Today we're at the old Shadaloo headquarters. Today we have a very special guest that we've been chasing for almost a fortnight, 3 weeks
longer
now.
Longer than that, man. It's been a month.
Yeah, it's been about a month. The man who's constantly busy but super well known, and he's not just an artist. Is actually a really good Street Fighter player, and I am talking about Boss Logic. Welcome.
Hey guys, how you doing?
How come I call you Dave and your real name is Cole?
Because, okay, the reason why people call me Dave instead of Code is because when I was in school, teacher couldn't, for some reason,
couldn't pronounce
Code. So, she gave me the name David for the first day, and it's just stuck.
Okay. But isn't it cool that, you know, like, you're into digital stuff and cool and, like, you know, video stuff and, you know, artists and graphic design and your first name is Cole, right?
Yeah.
And since you start with K, that means you have to play Mortal Kombat, right?
No. I suck at Mortal Kombat.
Fine.
So, all I was able to do in Mortal Kombat was jumping in, fly kick, and sweep. That's all I was...
MK one days.
Yeah. We'll see how the new one is. If actually... I might get into it if it's actually good. See what happens.
Okay. Where did you grow up and where are you from, basically?
Well, I was born in Syria and we moved here at the age of 2.
Mm.
Grew up here in Melbourne.
So, I mean, what prompted your family to move here to Melbourne?
To move from Syria?
From Syria, yeah.
We had the opportunity to move to another country and we did. Thank God we did.
So, oh, you've been here since 2 years old, so that's why your English is, like, so good.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
It's all right. It's probably fimbly to the Americans, but
yeah. It's less fimbly than my English, man. So, but I mean, have you guys always been here in Broadmeadows?
We've moved, like, the majority of our years has been in, like, this area, Broadmeadows and stuff. But we have moved to Thomastown and Preston. But the next location is back to Thomastown, so.
Ah, okay. So you were in Preston before, so...
We were, like, everywhere, so...
So, I mean, too many Asians in Preston, right? Yeah.
I don't think there are any Asians in Preston. I think it's more of a Greek area, isn't
really?
It? Well, I used to live there in 2003.
Okay.
I think there's a lot of Arabic people in Preston.
Yes, there is that as well.
Yeah.
Especially near the Preston market.
Yeah. And COVID.
Which are the Arabic areas in Melbourne?
I got no clue. Majority is Preston and Coburg. That's what I think.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Alright, so how did you get into fighting games?
Fighting games, I've been playing fighting games, not competitively, but just in general, since Street Fighter 2 days, but competitively I got into it in Street Fighter 4.
Street Fighter 4.
Yeah.
same as Sol and Ali, right?
Yeah. It seemed like, because that's where all the hype started.
Mm.
That's where, like, when you beat someone, it actually means something.
Yeah.
Like, back in the days when I used to play CVS 2, you beat someone and there was not...
There was no
feeling in it.
Yeah. Like,
but it was, like, empty.
Yeah, because nobody cared.
Yeah.
But,
Even though it was one of the sickest games, no one actually took it up.
In Melbourne.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, isn't it, like, kind of funny when you think about how things happen in Melbourne? Like, Street Fighter 4 came up, you and Ali and Sol started playing Street Fighter 4, Shadow.com was created, blah, 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 TEC, Igor with his Deacon stuff. Like, you know, so many things happened that, you know, created the community that we have today.
Yeah. That's what, so, we got to thank Capcom and Street Fighter 4.
Yeah.
I mean, for this.
Yeah, I mean, if you guys had started playing, I don't know. What game is that? Call of Duty or something?
Come on.
Yeah, there won't be no Shadow.com. You'll be like,
there'll
still be Game of Hold.
Is Game of Hold, and they do first person shooting. So
yeah.
We would have something to do, but I wouldn't have something to do because I the only fighters.
Yeah. So I mean, out of all your brothers, you're the main fighting game guy, right? Like Ali is more of a used to be more of a Nintendo racer kind of guy.
Yeah.
DS kind of guy, and you're a fighting
game. Sol used to He'll probably still generally play first-person shooters.
Yeah, he's a shooter guy.
He can do shooters, but he can do fighters. But majority of fighters.
You've always been the fighting game guy
and
your brothers. So did you used to teach them Street Fighter 2 and CBS 2? That kind of
thing? Not really. We used to just play for... You know how you play with your friends and stuff?
Yeah.
And like you beat them and they try to beat you back. But we had no knowledge of any fundamentals.
No knowledge of any fundamentals.
Yeah, so when Street Fighter 4 came out, we looked at frame data, we looked at combo videos, and we excelled to get better.
Yeah.
That's when it became competition. And now we barely play with our brothers.
So once things start getting serious, then you start playing with your brothers.
Because when your brother's a competition, he doesn't play you.
See, like the funny thing is that we were talking to Dave just now, and like they were saying, like, how come like you don't get to play Yale Sakura, you don't get to play Sol Sakura, and like you say, like, you never get to play your brother.
Well, Sol's exact words are he gets bored too easily,
so he doesn't want to play you.
He doesn't want to play me because he gets bored. Like, but the thing is, he doesn't like to play anyone in sets as well, which is quite reasonable because to stay. Like, so they don't read him too much.
But I mean, you're his brother. Like, if he's playing someone in the house, can't you just...
I didn't say he wasn't an ass.
Can't you just sit there and look at him playing? You're gonna know how he plays anyway, right?
Yeah. You can look at Sol play, but playing him is completely different story.
Completely different story.
Yeah.
How did he get so good, man?
He's in training mode, just yesterday.
Yeah.
3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
All the way up to 6 o'clock in the morning, just by himself in training mode.
Just by himself in training mode. Yeah. Doesn't he have a job now? He still does.
He still does.
That's why he's the number three, number two in Melbourne.
I got no idea what number he is. If I say what number he is, someone will get upset.
That is true. Tell us how you got into graphic design.
Graphic design. Okay. I've always been a sketch artist. I do sketching.
Yeah.
Like, always drew in my notebooks. Always drew in every textbook I had in school.
Yeah.
So ultimately, my friend did Photoshop.
Yeah.
And he introduced me to it.
Yeah.
After he introduced me to it, I just kept, you know, seeing tutorials, getting better. Mm. I didn't want to study at school.
So how old were you at that time?
16.
16. So you started around 16 years old.
Yeah. And I just kept learning it for textbooks, internet, and stuff. But I got to thank my friend.
What's your friend's name?
We're no longer friends. So I don't want to mention his name.
So. Okay, cool. So that means you've had no formal training, it's just your entirely self-taught.
Yes.
Man, that's pretty cool, man. Like, you've been on the cover of magazines, in magazines, and you're entirely self-taught. Is that a common thing in this industry, or?
To the good artists, like the ones that I follow, they're all self-taught as well, because what they teach you in school is all basic.
Yeah.
Like, everything is what you would learn on your own, but they like spoon feed it to you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you have the strive to learn on your own,
you
would be better at what you're learning because you want to learn it.
Ah,
now at school, they give you stuff. They give you modules. They give you stuff you don't want to learn.
Yeah, yeah.
And they even give you the information, all the information about something that you don't want to learn. Yeah. And ultimately, you
don't remember it.
No, you don't remember it and you get bored of it.
I see.
Yeah. So I pick and choose what I want to learn.
So you specialize and you become more creative as well.
Yes.
Okay. So you're like a Hendrix of the graphic artists.
I'm gonna say yes.
Okay, that was a bad analogy, right?
He said it. I said Martin that. Said it.
Yeah.
Why are you pointing at him? It's not as if the people can see it.
I'm pointing at you.
Well, I mean, since you're so good at Photoshop, can you help me remove some mosaics from some videos that I have? Is it difficult? He tells me it's difficult.
What?
Removing mosaics from videos.
Yes, it is.
Oh, man. What's the point of learning Photoshop? I can't do that.
Why don't you just download the non-mosaic stuff?
Yeah, man.
Some of the stuff you can't download without mosaics, man.
Yes, I know.
Yeah. We're of course talking about, you know, like animated cartoons, you know.
Oh, yes, of course we are.
But anyway, so tell us about your graphic design business and your future ambitions. Where do you want to take this thing?
Well, I started Boss Logic like 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. Actually, the actual name Boss Logic. And yeah, I just a freelance artist and just want to excel in my skill.
Yeah, yeah.
Get to a level of the people that I'm looking.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there's Arjun, Fatto, Pete Harrison.
Yeah.
To get to that level, that's my ultimate goal.
That's your ultimate goal.
So, I don't really care about the money now. I don't really care about magazines and stuff. Mm. I care about execution. That's why I keep learning. Mm. But the thing is, you know, it's always trial and error with my work. Like, whatever I make, there'll be a flaw. And I notice it after I'm done.
Mm.
And the thing is, I never remove it because I like to know what I did wrong and I post it.
Mm.
So on the next thing I do, I do it better.
So like every piece of your work is kind of like a picture of your progress in your
journey. It's like a checkpoint, basically. Yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
So every step is a foundation. I step off that foundation every time.
Okay. So, I mean, you told me that you want to have your own studio one day, is that?
Yes. Every graphic designer or artist wants to have a studio. And hopefully, hopefully I'm going to the States next year.
Mm. Are you going to the States next year for how long?
I'm seeing if I can stay there 6 months to learn from...
Which part of the States?
California.
Oh, man. Are you going to go to Wednesday night fights every night?
Oh, maybe.
Every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday.
You forgot when the Wednesday night was.
Dope.
Yeah, basically, I want to go there because my mentor's there. This guy that wants to mentor me, Feto.
Mm.
Like, I want to see if I can...
Ah.
See if I can be around...
Apprentice from him or something.
Yeah, be around his area of expertise so I can learn from him. And there's a whole bunch of other graphic designers there that I want to learn from. Yeah, so... Oh, after I come back from there, then hopefully I can establish a studio.
So you come back here and then you'll be like better. You'll be like Justin Wong's level at Street Fighter. You beat the rest of us down. Beat the rest of us down.
Maybe, but I'm more focused on the graphics design aspect.
Business before
playing. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. So, I mean, you've talked a little bit about Boss Logic, but I mean, you're also known as Justice. You're known as Subject 5467896. So, what's Justice and what's Boss Logic and what's Subject?
Okay, Justice was my first alias because it was my favorite character from Guilty Gear.
Ah, Justice. Okay.
And basically, I like robots. That's basically why it was Justice. But after BAM, I was so disappointed in my gameplay, I chose to drop that alias.
Also, now you're known as Subject.
Subject 64432B.
What does that number stand for?
That's, if you watch the latest trailer of Devil May Cry,
yeah.
That's what's his name's?
Dante's?
Dante's. What's it called? Like patient number? Yeah.
Oh, like he's
in a psych ward. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's his patient number.
Okay.
So I liked it. So.
Okay. And Boss Logic, the name comes from?
Boss Logic is my business name. What it means is to think for yourself, to run your own, run your own shit. That's
basically logic. What it means.
Yeah.
Okay. And I mean, last time I talked to you a few months ago, you were like, you seem to want to keep like Boss Logic. I mean, Justice apart from Boss Logic, you didn't want to like, you know, merge the two. Like,
yeah, because Justice is is my game at least.
Your game,
and the other one's my business.
Business, it is. Yeah. Okay, okay. Did you want to pause it and maybe get a drink of water? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Okay.
So, why bison?
Bison.
You mean bison, obviously, and
yeah. I like bison as a character, not what he is in the game. Like, even if he was like, you know, F tier.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would still pick him because I like the character. I picked him in CVS. I picked him in 2.
Yeah.
Basically, if that character was in any game, I would pick him. For God's sakes, in Tekken, Dragunov looks like Bison, and I picked him.
So what specifically do you like about Bison and about the character?
Basically, he looks like a undead general. Like, I like that look.
Okay.
Yeah, he looks fierce, powerful.
Oh, because in your work, you like post-apocalyptic stuff, so yeah, that's why basically. Like Bison. Okay.
I like evil.
Okay. So do you like, you know, chunky Bison from Alpha, or you like skinny Bison from SD?
My favorite Bison look will have to be the ripped clothes one from Street Fighter 4.
Okay.
But, battle damage.
Yeah, battle damage, Street Fighter 4. And CVS 2 Bison.
Okay.
As well.
Okay.
And EX is Vega Bison Tech Overzores.
Okay, cool. So, but and then you also said you want to play Alex if it comes out in AE, right?
Yep.
So
the reason I want to pick Alex is because in Alex, when I played Street Fighter Third Strike, that's who I picked, because it felt natural to me to pick him.
Pick Alex.
Mostly because he has a head stomp.
So why do you like head stomp so much?
I like hit stop so much. It's just awesome. You feel powerful stomping on someone's head. I know it's an unsafe move,
but
still, you get to stomp on someone's head every now and then.
So, I mean, you complain to me that this game, SF4, why did it make the hit stomp so crap, like, compared to, like, other games?
Yeah.
Like, so would you give up, like, Ultra 2 and, you know, save Caesars just to have a good hit stomp? You
yes. would. That's because cool. If you look at my win ratio...
Yeah.
92% of my wins, I've never used Ultra. So, if head stomp was, say, godlike in the game, he'll be broken, and I'll be happy.
Oh my god. And I'll hate you even more, because you stomp me the most. I can't uppercut that shit. So how come you always end up playing the same characters as Somniac? Who's copying who?
I don't know who's copying who, but I played Bison since CVS 2 days, so who started him first, I don't know.
So you are the
He might have had Alex before me, but I don't know.
Okay. Well, I guess the good thing is that you're both playing different characters in Marvel, right?
Yeah, he plays... Who's his characters?
Wesker, Sentinel, Dormammu.
And I'm none. I don't play the game.
Who are you playing in Marvel? I mean, I'm...
Like, when I was playing it, I was playing Dante... Mm-hmm. Sentinel and Magneto.
Okay. So
just like the average team.
But wait, you've mentioned Dante twice already, so does that mean that you're a big fan of Devil May Cry franchise? So what do you think of the reboot with the brunette Dante?
Well, everyone said he looks like a lesbian, but he doesn't look like a lesbian. He looks good.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah. It's something different. That's why people were upset.
I think the new DMC is going to lose a lot of fangirls.
Nah, man, it's punk emo. It will actually gain fangirls.
rabid anime fangirls.
So Twilight has affected even Devil May Cry?
No, man, don't mix that shit together.
It's the other way around.
Twilight's awful. I'm just putting it out there.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that 99.9% of the Street Fighter community and fighting game community in general agrees with you on that.
I hope they agree. Mm. Except Muddins. Muddins doesn't agree with me on that.
What do you mean I don't agree with you? I hate Twilight as well.
It's a lie. You like Harry Potter?
No, I have not watched a single Harry Potter movie. I know you have.
Why you gotta lie on the mic? That's on the oath, man.
On the oath, I have not watched a Harry Potter movie, even though I have such... Okay, never mind. Anyway, so why don't you tell us your thoughts on Marvel? You hate it, right?
Marvel in general?
Marvel Tree.
The game. I don't hate the game. I hate that I'm not good at the game. That's the thing. Okay. I know you practice, you get better, but I would like to put all my time and effort in Street Fighter 4.
So you feel that with your time constraints, you only have time to concentrate on one game? And that
basically, I got my work, and if I got only time for one game, or even two games, I would leave it the second game for Street Fighter X Tekken.
Okay. So what? But what if Bison was in Marvel 3 and he had a godlike headstorm, you know, full screen invincibility?
It will still be the same thing, because you can't rely on one character to win that game. That like Bison.
Sentinel.
Yes, I'm.
They got something stuck in my throat.
Like I got nerfed.
Sentinel got nerfed, man. Have you ever seen a fighting game character lose like 25% of his health in a single nerf?
Yes, Vanilla Cigar.
What was it? 3 weeks?
It wasn't 25%, dude.
What was it? 3 weeks?
Yeah.
Fastest nerf ever?
Yeah, I don't actually agree with the nerf. I think it's stupid.
Yeah, well, what do you think about that nerf? Is it way too fast to be nerfing a character that much? Or?
The character, I think.
Don't get me
they
wrong.
Shouldn't nerf his health. They should have nerfed his damage. That's what.
Yeah, basically. I mean, he still does ridiculous amounts of damage.
It's like exactly like making Zangief say Seth health, but leaving his, you know, his
pile,
spinning pile driver,
yeah,
making it, you know, still the same damage and shit.
Mm.
It's just you see it as pointless. Like if you nerf his power instead of his health, that's more reasonable.
And it keeps in the concept of him as a tank, just like Sentinel is like a big robot.
Because when you got a big character, visually, you expect him to have a lot of health. Now, for a big character to have like...
Well, you expect him to have a lot of power, but the only thing he did, just in my humble opinion, a little bit too much damage.
Yeah.
X-Factor level 3 Sentinel was really the only issue. And I think the only other real issue that he had was the hyper armor. But people already made, you know, at least 5 or 6 different strategies against that already. Yeah. So I don't even know if Sentinel was even going to be even relevant in like 2 or 3 months' time.
What I think is they should have removed the invincible.
Yeah, the hyper
assists.
Oh,
that's what. That's what.
Possibly.
That's the only issue I had.
So you don't have an issue with Sentinel, but you have an issue with Haggar and Trance Assist.
Basically, because when you're rushing someone down, they'll get in. Like, you have to change your strategy in case they have Haggar.
I know what you mean. It's like, as a Street Fighter player, it's like you can block and then you can uppercut. You can call an uppercut while you're blocking.
Yeah, you can play footsies and basically block stream and, you know, keep them under pressure. In this game, it's very easy to break pressure.
You know, maybe it's just because we're lousy at Marvel and, like, good Marvel players can beat those.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like, that's why I'm not sticking to the game. I'm not speaking behalf of anyone or anything. Mm-hmm. It's like, if you can excel at the game, get to the whole next level, congratulations.
Okay.
Like to you.
Okay.
So, who's your favorite Marvel character?
Onslaught will have to be my favorite.
Onslaught?
Why is that?
He's badass, man. He kills everyone.
This is true.
And he also proved that Charles Xavier has had a fetish for Jean Grey all this time.
That's been well known since 1974.
Yeah, but okay.
He openly admitted, like in a monologue, that he has had the hots for Jean forever.
So isn't it kind of sick that this old balding guy, he's like goes into this house and grabs this like prepubescent girl like from her home and trains her up, and all this time he's had the hots for her.
Well, not in the '70s, man. That was natural.
Well, when you build up the story like that.
Back in the '70s, people used to get married, and you know, 16, 17, 18.
Yeah.
Older men. With power and success.
Okay.
So...
Wasn't it like back in the past, like kings used to marry young
people? Prima Nocta. Yeah. Prima Nocta. That's written on John Choi's stick, yo. You know what Prima Nocta is? It's like, isn't it from Braveheart? Like you're the king, you get first right to like the bride on a wedding night or something like that.
Mm.
So John Choi wrote it on a stick. How cool is that? Yo?
That's pretty badass.
The Korean Inferno.
That's bad.
Yeah. But so Onslaught is your favorite character. Yes. So you ever see him in a movie? Do you think he'll ever be in a movie?
If Hollywood puts him in a movie, I think they'll ruin him.
Okay.
You can't. You look at the character how he is. That's like look what they did to Magneto in the movie. Sucks. I don't think any of the characters are good in the X-Men movies except Cyclops. I like Cyclops.
Cyclops actually looked decent.
Yeah.
Is that because he's enough of a joke and stuffy enough to be like the real Cyclops?
He looks exactly like Cyclops.
Actually, the real Cyclops is more of a square who always follows the rules.
Yeah, he was a goody too.
No, but now he's a douche because he like, you know, cheated with Emma Frost. Yes.
Now he's a douche, but you know, traditionally speaking, for 40 years, he was a fucking square.
I guess, yeah. So it goes like the Harry Man.
Why'd they kill him off in the movie?
So that
different director.
Yeah. That was stupid.
I always hated Cyclops. So, you've been on a French magazine cover, right? So you want to tell us about that?
French graphics design.
French graphic design.
Yeah. It's Computer Arts magazine.
Okay.
The French edition.
Okay.
They approached me, I think it was last year or something.
Okay.
I can't remember exactly when it was. And they said they liked my piece.
Mm-hmm. Which piece was that?
It's called Candy Floss. Yeah, and they wanted to publish it on the cover. And I was happy to do so.
Nice. Awesome.
Even though like no one English would read it,
yeah,
it still had a 1.3 million fan base.
Awesome. You mean as in like readership? Viewership?
Yeah, in France.
Holy shit, man. It's more than Cosmo in Australia.
Really?
I don't know, man. I buy Cosmo, yeah. Anyway, so, and then you also got a 2-page spread in Advanced Photoshop magazine, and that's in English, so we can read it, right?
Yes, yes.
When is it coming out?
It's actually came out in the UK already, and it should be released in Australia next month.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to get my exclusive copy in about on Monday, this Monday.
This Monday.
Comes in the mail.
Awesome, awesome.
I can scan it for myself.
Awesome. So, I mean, does it mention your Street Fighter stuff at all? It's just your other stuff?
No, no. I did give him my Street Fighter stuff, but for some reason they didn't put him in.
Maybe. I wonder why. No, it's not that it's bad or anything. Yeah, it's Street Fighter.
Yeah, it's Street Fighter.
For kids, not for artists. Please.
So, I mean, do you encounter that a lot? Like your clients show me some of your portfolio and they're like, you don't really want to look into my Street Fighter folio or whatever.
No, because you can never tell. Like, because of my hyper, I don't show my the Tron stuff because the Tron, I made it really clear that they're only remixes of original art. I give props to the original artists, which a lot of people in the community did not understand that at all.
We'll get to that.
But my hyperreal art, because it looks, they look like portraits,
yeah,
touched up portraits,
yeah,
that still classifies as manipulation to the client. So it
still works. So it's not a remix, it's a manipulation.
Yeah.
So, I mean, since we've got the time, why don't you explain to our viewers what is the difference between a manipulation and a remix?
Listeners. They're not viewers.
Oh, yeah, they're viewing the sound.
Yeah. Well, they view the article, man.
Basically, the remixing, what I did with the Tron stuff is I just got the highlights of the body parts and made them glow, like basically Tron pieces.
Yeah.
Which didn't really take me long, but because it was at the point of time where Tron was out, everyone got hyped about it.
Yeah.
But the thing is, with Hyperreal, I take maybe 6 different images or 7 different images and manipulate them together to bring out character.
Okay.
And I, you know, basically stitch them together.
So you have the outer lighting, you have to like change, like make them all...
The lighting, the hands, like I probably have to sometimes take a hand from another person, put on that one.
Yeah.
The hair from another person, put on that one. Yeah. Face from another person, put on that one.
I see.
Yeah.
So what is the hardest... tell me something unexpectedly difficult that you have to do with the hyperreal stuff. Like maybe, like I don't know, like doing belly buttons are really difficult.
No, that's not really hard. The hardest thing is actually getting all the right resource to make that character.
Okay.
It's like, it's not really that easy to find.
Like the right stock.
Yeah, because it's really hard to get the right positioning, the right facial expression.
Mm.
Yeah, it's just, you have to envision the character, what he'll look real, and not disappoint what he'll look real to people.
Do you think it would be interesting if you ever release, like, you know, this is the stock that I use, and you show, like, you know, the guy before you turn into the guy or something?
Go look at my Deadpool latest work,
and
you'll see what I made Deadpool with. Like, and you can tell how much work
what you put into it.
Yeah,
you're a big movie buff, so why don't you give us Boss Logic's top 5 movies of all time?
You guys had 10, didn't you? Yeah, but 10 is too much. I can't think of 10 anyway.
Initially, we agreed. Actually, he had 10 originally, but then I thought 10 is a little too much.
Yeah,
and most people, if they usually have a top, it'll be top 5.
Yeah. I can't think of any at the top of my head because, as a movie buff, it's really hard to pick. Mm. But top movies I like is Matrix 1, Constantine, 28 Weeks Later.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Which one is the... Is it Dawn of the Dead? The one with the... In the mall?
Yes, Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah, that one.
Wait, the new one or the original, 7th one?
I like the original, but I'm more a fan of the new one because it reminds me of Dead Rising. It looks really good. Also... Diary of the Dead as well. So I'm a big zombie.
So you have 3 zombie movies in there.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I've watched nearly every zombie movie. It's like, big fan of zombie movies.
Yeah, I love zombie movies.
Did you like the Australian zombie film? Oh, come on, that was great! They chained four shotguns together! Four shotguns!
Still, undead. That's the only thing that was probably different.
That was a great film. It was so cheesy as well. When she cuts one in the hardware shop, when she slices the zombie's head off and like, there's an Australian flag in the background.
One of my all-time favorite zombie movies was actually Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah, mixed, I love that movie.
It mixed humor and zombies.
Oh, see, I hated that film. Oh, I'm so bored.
Really?
I don't know why. Everybody loves that movie, but I just
British humor, maybe?
No, I love British humor. Oh. I don't know why that film just bored me to tears. Hell, I fell asleep halfway through it.
Man, that is disgusting.
It's just me. This is probably it's just me on this one. Yeah. Right. Did you ever watch the late night SBS Zombie Fest though? With like the there was a couple of films where they had like the dancing zombies and like the zombie the musical and it was a couple other things. Yeah, this is like really bizarre shit. Yeah, that and also I'm assuming you've seen Guitar Wolf.
No, I haven't seen.
Oh, dude, that's one of the best Japanese horror zombie films ever. They fight off zombies with like guitars and shit.
Is it a high production?
No, oh. Budget quality. Come on, man.
Bring it to Diggin.
Yeah, I'll bring it to Diggin. I got it on DVD somewhere.
I watched Zombie Strippers. That was shitty.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty bad.
Oh, you watched it too?
I got it somewhere, yeah.
So that means you must really like a TV show, right? What was that series?
Walking Dead. Walking Dead was really good.
It's actually a comic book series.
Is it? Like, was it first?
Yeah, comic book series first. There was 9 volumes that you can get.
Nice. Because I watched it. It's like actually watching a zombie movie.
Yeah. Mm.
A long zombie movie.
But with more character development. Right?
Yeah.
And the comic books are actually a bit more brutal as well. But
yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I won't spoil it for anyone.
Yeah. So wait a minute. So what about your top 5 worst movies?
Oh my god. Let's see. There's Cat Williams Internet Dating. I truly recommend it to anyone that hates, likes watching bad movies.
Cat Williams?
Yeah, Cat Williams.
That's the character's name.
Yeah, that's the... If you've seen him, he's the he's a stand-up comedian. Watch that movie, you'll hate yourself forever. And the second movie, I reckon, is... Have you guys seen The Room?
Yes, I have. I watched it in my...
How horrible was it?
I thought it had an interesting premise.
You're an idiot.
Done! I thought it was interesting, like, the setup and everything, and then halfway through, it just fucking screwed everything.
How did you say it's it? Oh my god, I don't even know how to reply. Have you seen him?
No, thank God.
Watch the movie and you will look at him. You won't look at him the same anymore. Mm. That movie had no plot. It did not have a plot.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Okay, this movie, right? When he first released it...
Oh, wait.
No, 1 second. When he first released it, it had shit-ass ratings. Like, it was like 3.2 or less. That's when it was drama. It was classified as drama. Mm-hmm. Okay, so... What his team did is change the movie to dark, to, you know, black comedy.
Mm.
Later on, 6 months later, the movie got boosted to 6.5 because it was funny.
Ah, I see.
Yeah, because
so it's so bad, it's good. In other words, there are only a couple of films that are so bad that are good. That one doesn't sound.
No, it's not good. Yeah. It's not good at all.
I think Street Fighter the animated movie. Street Fighter the movie counts as that.
No.
Street Fighter the animated movie is so bad, it's good.
Yeah, it's enjoyable.
Yes, because it's actually funny.
Same as Mortal Kombat. Yeah. So Mortal Kombat Part 1.
Mm.
If you remember the last scene where you know he's fighting Shang Tsung.
Yeah.
And he gets his ass kicked, and he finally kills Shang Tsung, and he goes flawless victory.
Yeah.
Mm. Even though he got his ass kicked.
Yes, that is awesome. And I wasn't... I had it wrong. I was thinking of The Box.
Oh, The Box wasn't that bad.
I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, that's why. I was thinking... I was screwed up.
That's the one with Ryan Reynolds buried on 6 feet under? Not that one?
No, that's the one with Cameron Diaz. Yeah. The Box.
The Box.
It
wasn't that interesting and then it became like crappy after the halfway through.
It's the guy that played Cyclops as well.
Yeah. Speaking of Cyclops. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Optic Blast.
The Room. You watched The Room?
I've also watched Room. Yeah, okay, it sucks.
Okay.
Yeah. I confused myself. But yo, 3 more movies to go.
There's a whole heap of bad ones. Titanic 2. Have you watched?
There's a Titanic 2?
Yeah. And it's like...
Did Leonardo die again?
Can $8. it's like literally an $8 budget.
Starship Troopers.
Starship Troopers 3, I think I watched that recently.
All Starship Troopers.
I like Starship Troopers 1. It was alright.
Yeah, but how come they didn't have like a love scene with Denise Richards? It was the worst decision ever.
Yeah, just cock tease the entire film.
Man. Yeah, exactly, man. I put in 2 hours in the movie and didn't get rewarded. God damn it.
That's why you have the internet. you always get instant reward on the internet.
That any Crow movie besides part one sucked.
But you're cheating, man. You're using sequels. Like, Titanic 2 is obviously going to suck, right?
Well, that's not cheating.
Yeah, considering the first one was, what, $130 million to make?
Yeah.
And I mean, made something, like, ridiculous.
Like, the Crow one is, like, a classic, so obviously, like, the sequels would be, like, shit. So you're cheating, man. You can't use sequels in your top five.
A girl from Legally Blonde, what's her name?
Reese Witherspoon?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She has a new movie out.
Yeah.
It's, like, with Owen Wilson.
Yeah. It's, like, a romantic comedy.
Oh, my God. I watched it. It's, like, where's the laughter? Where do you laugh here? It's like you can't.
You don't. You cut yourself and you bleed. And you pray for a quick death.
That is actually a new horrible movie.
Why would you even watch that? Reese Witherspoon and Owen Wilson. Are you a sucker for punishment?
I like Owen Wilson. Not in that movie.
Obviously.
Even though he acts the same every movie.
Yes. He is basically a one-dimensional character.
Yeah.
Same as Will Farrow. Same as a whole bunch of
other. I like Will Farrow though.
I don't mind Will Farrow. It's just that you know what you're in for.
Do you like
dopey retard?
Do you like Steve Carell?
Yeah.
Do you like Adam Sandler? Basically, sucks now. Right?
Who?
Adam Sandler.
Not really. He's got a new movie. It looks alright.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet, but Jennifer Aniston sucks. She's so boring.
Actually, that film outsold Justin Bieber's film in the first week in the States.
What? There's a Justin Bieber movie?
Yeah, man.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's inspirational. You should go see it.
Yo, do you know that?
In 3D.
Do you know
in
3D. That Justin Bieber won the
You see that? What a hit.
Yes, he won the All-Star MVP.
The world is a horrible
place. It is a horrible place.
So you're well known around the world for your Street Fighter graphic work. I know you've done stuff on the Cross Counter side, Choco Blanca side, Tokido side, Gamer B side, t-shirts of Intel and PR Balrog. And what other stuff have you done that no one knows about?
I've done stuff for Gutex.
I've also
done that, like, if you guys picked up your copy of the special edition.
Of the Ryu.
The Ryu.
Yeah, like, you like did the artwork for that.
Tips DVD.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did the artwork for that and the chapter selects for that.
Okay.
So, yeah, pick up your copy.
I had. I paid for it, man.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So what are things
What else have I done? Basically, if no one knows yet, I've done all the Shadowloo graphics.
Yeah.
Basically, I've done a lot for iPlayWinner.
Yeah.
I've done
a lot of banners for iPlayWinner, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And
there's like heaps on the top. Like, I can't really. I don't even know what they are because it's been a year I've been doing stuff.
So I mean, since you've done the artwork for Gutex, you know Ryu DVD, will there be any more collaborations in the future?
With Gutex.
Gutex and Mike Ross.
Pretty sure there will be.
Will you be doing the cover art for Mike Ross's autobiography?
If he has one.
Can I write it?
Ask him.
I have a chapter called Goth Girls. Yeah.
He said Goth Girls.
Yes. You and the TEC guys have put together a hell of a tournament last year in Shadow Showdown on your first try. So what's Boss Logic's 5 easy steps to setting up your own international tournament?
There's no easy steps.
There's no easy steps. So there's only 1,000 difficult steps.
Just don't go through the same mistakes we did last year and doing it. How much was it? 2 weeks?
Nah, it was more.
It was a month. It was like
about a month.
It was a month in advance. Like, we had to plan this whole event in a month in advance. Yeah. It was hell. Money was lost, but...
There were no Red Bull girls.
There was no chicks.
No.
Australia doesn't have chicks in there.
There was one.
Was there?
Constantly beats Martin. In a Ryu mirror. 2D.
Sorry, 2D.
Yeah, the second best Ryu in Melbourne.
Yeah.
Who's the best? Her brother.
Her brother.
Viet Cong?
Viet Cong, yeah. Viet Cong is the best Ryu in Melbourne.
Basically, yeah. Once again, sorry, 2D. When I say there's no chicks, I'm not talking about, like,
players.
Chicks that players. Like, actual girls that actually come to the event and promote it.
Give some advice to setting up the tournament.
Okay. Plan what you're going to do.
Yeah.
Have your contacts ready. Do it, like, at least 6 months in advance. Pick a proper venue.
So, I mean, give us some advice for, like, setting up the tournament. Like what's the first thing you got to do?
First thing you got to do is, like, do it 6 months in advance.
6 months.
At least.
All right. Yeah.
And know who you're going to bring down.
Yeah.
Know, like... what's in. Like, if you're going to bring international players down, know who's popular to bring down.
Mm.
Third, actually be friends with the people that you're bringing down. Like,
okay.
they'll harass them to bring them in.
Okay.
Basically.
Speaking of that, how did you actually go about establishing your international contacts, especially with the Japanese players?
I've always been friends with Inaba, which he runs God's Garden, and I've been friends with Gamma, which runs NSB. And Seoul is friends with most of the top players of Japan. So it was easy to get in contact with them all. And speaking with Inaba and Gamma, they're like kind of management, and they'll manage and they'll talk to them. And their communication in English with me is like awesome. It's like better than my English in text form. Yeah, basically talking to them, since the other guys, Takedo Mago and Gamabee, had so much, such a good time here, it actually, it's a positive sense to everyone else in Japan. That's why so much are coming to Australia this year.
Okay. So did you like message him on Xbox Live or
No, all through personal email.
Personal email, okay.
Yeah.
Like the first time I actually called Inaba, like this was last year, because his English was so good in text form, I thought his English was good in English.
In spoken form.
And the thing is, it wasn't. It was the most harsh, like cruel time I've had on the phone. Like,
you'll find that most non-English speaking people whose English isn't their first language, is they'll have really, really good solid grammar and written skills, because that's what they learn in primary school and high school. But when it comes to their actual verbal communication, that's where they lack, because they don't actually teach those things in high school, how to enunciate and pronunciate words correctly, rather than they just focus on grammar. So the idea is basically that if you ever go overseas and you need to communicate with someone, you can write it down and they can understand it.
Yeah.
You don't actually have to speak to them at all. So that's most likely why.
Yeah, that's probably it. But Takeda was an exception. That guy, you can speak to him English.
Yeah.
It's broken, but yeah, he's getting better.
So what about other guests? Is Choco's English and Team Devil's English any good?
I'm not sure. I haven't spoken to them.
Okay.
But apparently people have spoken to them, and apparently they can talk, like they can communicate properly. Yeah, so I'm guessing.
Wait, didn't you meet Choco Blanco?
Yeah,
I did. Yeah, but I didn't speak English to her. She
had a translator?
Had a translator, Tetra, who's a really good translator.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah. But but how do you get those three guests down the shadow the first time? Tokido Mago and Gamabee. The
first person we got confirmed was Gamabee.
Gamabee,
because Seoul was friends with him.
Yeah.
Got his yes from him. He basically told him about it and what's going on and how many people are going and how he can help us out with it. And we're trying to expand to the like the Asia Pacific in total. After we got the yes from him, we started talking to Margo and Takedo. The thing is, Margo and Takedo, we only got a yes from Margo.
Oh, so Margo was the first to confirm Margo and Takedo.
Yes.
That is interesting, considering the fact that before Shadow Showdown, he only went out for Street Fighter 4 overseas for Canada Cup, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we got him confirmed.
Yeah.
And after we got him confirmed, Takedo was having problems coming because he had work commitments. And the thing is, that's why you guys saw Takedo leave a day early. Yeah, so there was almost a chance of him not coming. But he got so excited for the event that he did actually make it. And thank God he did.
Tell me the truth. Shadow is really TTC, right?
Arguably, no.
Arguably, no. Okay, no more needs to be said. Okay. So, you recently created an initiative for, like, aid towards the victims of the Japanese earthquake. So, tell me a bit about that.
What, the artwork?
Yeah, that you did.
I just did it, like, just to pay respects to the for what happened, the tragedy that happened in Japan. Like, for all the families that have lost, like, loved ones and houses and, you know, and the billions of, you know, dollars lost. I wanted to, because I got a huge fan base on DeviantArt, so I made a piece that depicts what happened and put a link to the Red Cross under it. I also sent it to the Red Cross.
I see.
To use it as well.
But did the Red Cross reply?
Yes, they did. They thanked me for my work. And they actually got funding from my Deviant page.
Who was the first person that you messaged in Japan to make sure they were safe? Was it Mario?
I sent an email to Inaba.
Oh, because he knows everybody.
Basically. Yeah.
So speaking of Japan, so who are some of your favorite Street Fighter players?
In Japan.
Oh, in general.
In general.
It would just have to be like generally the top ones. Margo, Taquito, Daigo's like all hype and like they all love him already. Mm-hmm. He's already got the hugest fan base.
Yeah.
Daigo's up there too because his whole logic in the game, how he sees the game, what he does, what he loses.
Mm.
Yeah. All of them have the mentality of winners. Mm-hmm. That's what I like.
But what about like people that aren't so famous, like underrated players that you like a lot?
Well, Kuma is one of my top ones.
Okay.
Because he plays Bison.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Like, he's like, if I wanted to meet someone, he would be.
He would be here.
Yeah. But he picks secondary Guile, which is
the bane of your existence.
It's like, hey, we're Bisons, we hate Guiles, but our secondary is Guile. So.
What the hell?
So no, because when someone counterpicks him as Guile, he knows Guile as well.
So. But oh, so he doesn't play Guile against that Guile, he just continues to play Bison against Guile.
It's really, really hard for a Japanese Guile to beat, Japanese Bison to beat a Japanese Guile.
I got it wrong. I thought you meant that when he sees Guile, he switches to Guile as well. So I was thinking, like, why would you switch from Bison Guile to the most boring Minamiro match?
It's just he doesn't play.
Okay, fair enough. Rank the five best standing roundhouses in the game. You got Akuma, Chun-Li, Bison, Adon, Sagat, Balrog.
Well, Bison's first.
So Bison has the best heavy kick.
He does have the best heavy kick. It should be two hits, but yeah.
Alright.
Just so he gets that armor breaking effect as well. Yeah.
It should be a little faster as well.
So it should be like two frames, right?
Yeah.
You can't save jump it and it creates juggle as well.
And it should be cancelable as well.
So you heavy kick FADC Ultra and say suck it, Sagat.
Sagat has to be second.
Okay, fair enough.
Has to be second.
Has to be second.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Then I think Chun-Li.
Chun-Li?
I'll say Chun-Li.
Yeah.
I'm not sure on the other two. Who else has a good
one? Kuma, Edon.
Oh yeah, Kuma.
Kuma.
Kuma. That's the most annoying roundhouse. Why does he get two?
Why does he get two? That's what she said.
That's what does he get two? That's what she said. That doesn't make sense.
No. Okay.
And the last one. Who would be the last one?
Well, Adon's is pretty good.
Oh, yeah, Adon. I hate Adon. I don't even mention him because I hate him.
Why is that?
He's an annoying character.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I just can't see his grab. I still can't see it.
Grab
animation.
Yes, like, his grab animation is quite...
Yeah.
Fast and odd.
Because of Australia's dice rolling. Yes, I said it. Dice rolling. I don't know when, like, an uppercut's coming. Cancel uppercut. Coming. Cancel uppercut. Cancel uppercut. Cancel throw. I don't even know.
Shout out to Carnage.
Yeah.
Tell us a bit more about that. I mean, you complain repeat quite a few times to me about this dice rolling style in Melbourne. So is it a trademark style of Melbourne?
Yeah, Melbourne for the win. Yeah.
So.
We roll dice all day.
So, yeah, we are a bunch of gamblers.
So is that why we hold tournaments in a freaking casino?
Yeah, basically.
It's amazing how... That's why, you know, when I see Carnage play these days, he's like, well, he used to use Balrog, but doesn't Balrog not have an uppercut?
Yeah, basically.
So how do you used to play Balrog back in the day? How do you throw the dice with Balrog?
He doesn't need it. He's got machine gun jabs.
2.5 frame jab.
2.5 frame jab. Exactly.
It's lightning fast, man. Mm.
So you said you hate playing against Adon, so like, what other characters do you hate playing against?
Cammy.
Why Cammy?
I really hate characters that can spam something.
Are you talking about your own character, man?
Hey, listen, man. Bison versus Bison is 7-3. It's like, I don't like it.
Indeed.
So you're like, my shit is all safe on block. I hate it. Anyone else has it too. Screw Adon. Screw. Is that how it is?
Oh. Basically, do you know how you have to adapt to them, but you know, characters with like heaps of pressure, I hate them the most, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to adapt to them because then
Cammy, Adon.
Yeah, Cammy is probably my most hated out of all.
So not Guile. It's Cammy, your most hated.
Guile's character base is because of my character. Yeah, but close second to Cammy is Zangief, especially if it's a random Zangief.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So when you say random, what aspect of random do you mean? Do you mean that he'll randomly attack, or randomly he'll jab, or
no, randomly he'll lariat.
Mm-hmm.
You can punish that now, like not now. You can just generally punish it. But if you got a Zangief that knows how to play and doesn't miss his links, but still is random, it's a very hard Zangief to beat.
Mm-hmm. You get hit twice, you lose, basically.
Yeah, basically. It's like a brick wall constantly coming towards you as well.
Yeah.
And because I'm not a fireball character, I don't have projectiles.
Mm. You I do, can't... man. Standing heavy kick.
It's not a projectile, man.
It is.
Sometimes yeah. It feels like a projectile. Yeah.
It's like, man, it's faster than my fireball. But
actually, it is faster than your fireball.
Yes, it is. Screw you, man. Screw your sanding ground horse. But so you bought your own printer recently. So I'm assuming we can look forward to some truly sick shirt designs at this year's Shadow Showdown.
Yes, the shirt printer comes in on 20th of next month.
20th of next month, alright.
So we'll start dishing out some Shadaloo designs. They're Boss Logic, but it's Boss Logic line, but they'll be like Street Fighter related.
Can I get my name on it, you know, if like...
Sure.
Are you going to be doing custom orders?
Like custom designs?
Yeah, you know what I mean. It's like if somebody wants to say something specific, would you...
Yeah, I can. We can do that.
Okay. At a low price.
At a low price.
But for real, like, can I get, like, custom shirts? Like, can I get a picture of, you know, Mike Ross with guitar or, like, Tokido doing the murder face at SoCal Vision?
You can get whatever you want.
Really? Oh, awesome, man.
But we'll be releasing, like, in general lines, every 4 months. So, every 3-4 months, something like that.
This is a really important question. What do you have to say to the haters of your art?
I love you.
It's fight fire with fire. Why not?
I don't really see them as haters or anything. Like, they can hate on my work all they want. Mm. It's like, it's not like I'm going to stop designing, stop trying to get better.
Mm-hmm.
But I appreciate them looking at my work and looking at it in such details that they hate it. It's still good.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, yeah. But why don't you talk a little bit more about, you know, like, this? Some of them, they say, like, oh, you know, Photoshop's not real art. But what is art? Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, some people say manipulation is not art. Mm. Some people say this is not art. They classify art as a just drawing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Art is basically anything.
Yeah.
Anything you do that is art to you is art. Like in some places, a whiteboard with a dot in the middle, just a dot, is art. What that dot tells you, what that dot means to you, if it says something to you, it says something to me, that's what art is.
Art is basically to create meaning, right?
It's a visual message. That's what art is.
Yeah. So it doesn't matter if you do it with your crayon, with your paintbrush, or with a mouse, it's still art.
People cut up their hands and splatter their bloods on walls.
And that's art.
That's art to them.
Yeah.
And by all means, do what you want. Whatever you feel art is, do it. But to sit there and say, this is not art, drawing is art, is not only ignorant, it's stupid to say.
So would you say that our podcast is art?
Yes, it is.
That's taking it too far.
If you take it as an art form, it's art. Mm. If you collect computers...
Let's not go there. I just threw out 7, and I have another 8 or 9 to go.
I'm just saying, whatever you classify as art, is art, because art is not chained to what?
Exactly.
Yeah. It's not chained to anything.
It's not chained to a dictionary definition.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not chained to any single method or any... Art can be audio as well as visual, right?
God's sakes, cooking is an art.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Ah, cool.
Nigella Lawson, yo.
I wonder if there is actually a Street Fighter player out there that knows how to cook.
There is, Ed. Ed's a chef, man.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
He's a Japanese chef.
Ooh, awesome.
Yeah.
Wait, I wonder if we can money match him for food.
If I beat you, you make me
a delicious meal.
That would be godlike. Maybe that's what happened at final round. Mike Ross is like, money match you for food, and he's like,
what can you call it? A yummy match?
A yummy match, yeah.
That would be awesome. That means no one will want to match me. So any advice for a budding graphic artist?
Don't let haters get to you. Do what you do. If you love art, you'll keep excelling at it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're only doing it just to get popular,
mm-hmm.
if you're only doing it just to show off, you can, you know, make a picture, then get shut down by whatever anyone says, then you're not doing it for the art.
So don't do it for the fame. Do it for the one thing to get better.
Do it for that one person that would like your work. That's it.
Okay.
Even if that person's standing in the mirror.
Does that mean that we'll never end our podcast series?
Oh my god.
Until your hands completely die from typing.
Oh my god. I need to get rich and I'll just hire a typist.
You need a monkey on a typewriter.
Yeah, I need a monkey, yeah. How much is a monkey?
$300 or something.
So cheap, man.
Let's not go there.
We're talking about monkey trades now.
You need mojo, man. I'm gonna horribly cripple you so you gotta help a monkey.
I would like to have a monkey, so you know when I play like Mago on Shadow Shot, I'm like, monkey, press the start button. Oh, DQ, yo, Mago.
Is that the odd part, or the odd part is you bringing a monkey to Shadow Shadow?
What's wrong with monkey, man?
Like, nothing. It's completely normal in Melbourne. We all have monkeys.
Yeah. Yeah, don't you have one already? His name is Hamada. No.
But okay. Yo.
Insert picture here.
Yes, I need a picture. So, Igor told me when he first saw Shadow.com, he said, and I quote, "This can't be an Australian site. It looks too good." So, what do you have to say about that?
Thank you, Igor. Oh, that's basically what Shadow had to do. It's like we had to stand out
from other
sites in a way to get to actually boost ourselves, because there was already scenes and already websites.
Mm.
So basically, I used my graphic skills to excel.
The other thing was, initially, because it wasn't shadowloo.com.au, I just thought it was an American site, because most domain name registrations with .com usually end
in America. Yes, that's true, because I couldn't get the AU, because you have to have ABN in Australia to get an AU, and I couldn't get it, so...
Not necessarily. There are ways around it, but let's not go there.
Yeah, I had to do a million things. It's like, hey...
Well, get if you work for a certain, you know, government organization that has two Class B subnets, yes. But let's not go there.
I will wait a couple of days and not do the registration, or just do .com right now.
Oh, .com works a lot better, actually. I think .com is actually a lot more universal, and it's a lot easier to get to as well.
Basically, so, yeah.
What do you think of the current scene in Melbourne?
It uppercuts a lot. A whole lot. I know what you're talking about. I just want to put it out there that they uppercut.
Oh, of course.
But in general, Melbourne has grown a lot. You've been here since the start. You saw...
Not really. I completely skipped out Vanilla.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because there's just no DJ.
It just feels like forever, right?
Yeah. Have you been here since the start?
He was, yeah.
It
was such a small knit group. It wasn't that much. Like when we used to go Box Hill, we used to be sometimes 12
people.
Yeah, 12 people. Now we're getting on average 32 entrants and stuff, and our highest is like 60 something.
And we have them twice a week, two tournaments.
And all these new young guns coming out because of Shadowloo, because of Ozado.
Yeah,
and it's growing a lot, and I'm happy for it.
Yeah, and I mean, props has to be given to people like you guys, man. Andy,
X, you guys for the podcast, Oz Hado.
Guys like Chris, who set up
CCH. Chris.
Yep.
Guys,
if I'm forgetting anyone, please tell me, because I don't want to get
Circus
shot.
Circus Chris.
Circus Chris.
Yeah, Galactic Circus Chris.
Yeah.
Toxie.
The bubble tea.
Starting Box Hill.
Yeah. The bubble tea shop next to Box Hill.
Yes.
Yeah.
Even though the movie thinks our bubble tea is mediocre.
Come on, man. You can't really compete with Taiwan.
Yeah, man.
That is true, yeah. I mean, we need to feed him something, like, to make up for that. Like,
what do we got besides meat pie, man? Seriously.
Oh, sausage rolls.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, undefined processed meat. That's basically what a sausage roll is.
What does Australia have
that
we can actually give?
Yeah, we got really good beef.
Yeah, let's feed him a steak, man. So if anyone wants to contact you about, you know, getting you to work for them, for art, you know, doing some art for them, how should they contact you?
Link here.
Yep.
You would show them the link, right?
So you No, but I mean, tell them verbally how to contact you.
You can contact me through my website, which has my email on it, which is thebosslogic.com. So it's D-A-B-O-S-S logic.com. Yeah, my email's there. Okay. Also, Muddins here would put my link.
Okay, I will definitely will.
So, one of the last questions I really want to ask is, so how did Shadowloo all start?
The way Shadowloo started is...
And around what year as well?
It was last year.
Last year?
Yes.
Okay.
It's only been a year. It's only a year old.
Mm-hmm.
It was its birthday like a month and a half ago.
Is it only a year old? Man, it feels like 3 years.
It feels about 2-3 years.
Nah, it's only a year. The way it started is we had a lack of Australian news.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Oz Hado was doing great for the community,
mm-hmm.
you know, showing events and what's coming up and stuff. But there was never like it never advertised too much results, like as in like here's the results, and we didn't want to always put our images there. It kept looking like we spammed the site. That's what it looked like. So we basically go, hey, let's make a website that would show the news of all Australian stuff, like centered around Australia, but we can also put the news of Australia all around international stuff. And from there, it blew up, really. I was talking to Pyro when we first started. It's like, we should start a website, like, just for Melbourne. Like, Melbourne has nothing. Also, there was, like, basically Sydney stuff, but, you know, we're all there visiting and stuff. That's what ultimately sparked it, because Melbourne had didn't really have anything. So, we made it happen. The thing is, though, at the start, they thought, like, certain people thought we were challenging us there. So we decided not to have a forum. We stopped our forum. So basically our forum now links to Gamerhold. So if you want to go to Gamerhold and, you know, post up some stuff, check out some, like, the other stuff. Even Couch Warriors is now at Gamerhold. So we ultimately never had a forum just to show that we are news-related.
You're a news-oriented website.
Everyone was happy after that point. And from then on, it just grew.
You guys have certainly achieved a lot in a year.
Yeah. Thanks to the community.
Yeah.
And everyone loves the site. Let's get happy with it.
Yeah. And it's really cool that, you know, like, most, like, the teams that you have out there, you know, like, they're basically good friends, right? Friends who make up teams, and if they fight, you know, they can just split and the whole site just goes down. But you guys are brothers, man. Even you fight all day, you gotta stay together.
The team is Soul, Ali.
And a brother from another mother.
Brother from another mother, Pyro. Yeah. I should have said Pyro first. He's going to get salty now.
Yeah.
Pyro, Soul, Ali.
Yeah.
And yourself.
And myself.
Yeah, you're brothers, man. So, yeah. The only thing that can break you is a woman.
We now have one episode. Well, everyone knows what I'm about to say, like, about moderns. But
I'm not going to say it,
but everyone knows what I'm saying.
That is true. Everyone knows how much of a wussy I am. Any last thoughts? Shout outs?
Man, I got to shout out like everyone.
Go ahead.
I forgot to shout out one person on the DMG one. Yeah. And it's like people are like, oh my god, you missed me.
Like, hey, you missed us as well.
Oh my god. See what I'm talking about?
Go ahead, man.
I didn't actually miss you guys. It's like I said it. I said if I missed anyone, I apologize. You guys are those guys.
cover your ass with your disclaimer.
I can thank yous now. Yeah. And I'll thank yous so first. Watch. Thank you, Igor. Thank you, Muttons.
Thank you.
For this interview that I'm probably going to get blasted for. Like, in an hour after it goes.
It's alright. You see, like, we deter the haters by the sheer length of it. They're like, oh, this is too long. I can't read the whole damn thing. And they can't bother to scroll down to comment at the bottom. See, that's how we scare away the haters. by length of text.
Well, I'd like to thank, firstly, you guys. Secondly, all the Shadaloo guys. X, Soul, Pyro. Without them, there will be no Shadaloo. Thank Oz Hado for starting basically the fight scene. Like, without them, there would have been no foundation, obviously. Couch Warriors, which there wouldn't have been a fight scene in Melbourne if it wasn't for them.
Couch Warriors, yeah.
Yeah. So, Logi, Zan, Vada, and all the crew. Thank you. And Sat as well.
Sat.
Thank you for keeping the Melbourne scene alive. Andy. Thank you, Andy, for everything. You know, Box Hill tournaments were run by you a majority of times. And you did it well. And we miss you on the scene. You haven't been here for a while. Toxie, you're like the most ultimate player I've ever seen. Keep ripping me in tournaments. Major shout outs and props. Without you, there would actually not be a competitive scene, I think. As I know, it's like he started Box Hill. Yeah, so keep doing what you do, man. And stop playing Street Fighter 4. You're spending too much time in Marvel.
Yeah.
Also, I'd like to shout out all the big players. Naruga, Carnage, Heavy Weapons, Somniac, Wei, Akira, like, and everyone else that I'm missing. I can't name them all because Nickers, Cactus, my very good friend Exus. Oh yeah, shout out to New Zealand. What's up, guys? Yeah, Singapore Fighter, Inaba, Gamma, God's Garden, NSB, Takedo, Margo, Gamby, everyone in Japan, and everyone in Japan that's coming over to Australia. And shout outs to everyone that's coming to support Shadaloo Showdown. We need all the help we can get. We'll guarantee, Mudden's guarantees, you'll have a good time. That's like a Mudden's guarantee.
I'm working now, man. I have to take.
A Mudden's guarantee is worth 5 Boss Logic guarantees.
Or 2 in the bush.
Shout outs to FIK, Event Hubs, and iPlay Winner for always featuring our stuff, helping us grow for the last year. Personal thanks to Kaneda for helping me out with a lot of things. Shout outs to TTC for everything. They know what they've done. They helped me out a lot. They're also helping us. They're sending their players down for Shadaloo Showdown. John Nelson at Team Tournament Legacy. I'd like to give him a shout out. I'm also working with him on a few things at the moment.
Gutex, of course.
It's been fun helping you out and looking forward to future projects. Mike Ross, I haven't talked to you, but
you haven't talked to him?
No, he doesn't. It's like I have only really? Been speaking to Gutex.
I think Gutex is predominantly the one who runs the website.
So so when you ask to speak to Gutex, Gutex just takes his like voice modifier and this is Mike Ross. He doesn't exist. He's no, just...
There's no such thing as Mike Ross.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's just a figment of our imagination.
Yeah. Damn. He's like green screened into our screens. That's
he's the real avatar.
Yeah. Yeah, shout outs to Mike Ross and Gutex. Also Broken Tier. Shout outs to Paul for future projects and... Congratulations on your line as well. It's blown up. Also, Focus Tech. Good to see your product line is excelling. And looking forward to see what else you bring out. Bugsimus. How can you forget Bugsimus?
Yeah, but how can
he's like Australia's Team Snooky.
Yeah.
I'm going to call him Snooky. That's it. Snookums.
Yeah. Yeah, we should call him Snookums.
Yeah, we'll call him Snookums. And that's it.
That's it.
Going to wrap it up.
Awesome.
Wait a second. If I forget anyone, anyone, please follow me on my Twitter, Boss Logic on Twitter.
Awesome. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, dude.
Thank you, guys.
This is Excessum from The X Report and Shadaloo.com. You're listening to Don't Be a Scrub podcast. Stay hungry, stay salty, and continue listening.
Once again, we'd like to thank Boss Logic for sitting down and doing the interview. We understand that his time is very precious to him, and we really appreciate him doing the interview with us, especially with all the trailers that he's been doing, both for Shadaloo Showdown and for all the other international Street Fighter tournaments which are coming up. That's just about going to do it for episode 12. As always, stay hungry, stay salty, and thank you for listening.